piece of meat?
Do I feel lucky? Well, do you, Bunk?
Good morning, Vietnam!
I love the smell of napalm in the morning.
You're gonna need a bigger boat.
I feel the need for speed.
I wish I knew how to quit you.
Love means never having to say you're sorry.
You do! You'll shoot your eye out, kid.
What is up, film fans? Welcome to another bonus edition, another bonus episode of the Cinnamon Movie Podcast. Happy Thursday. I am your host, Juan, and I am joined by the cast, the crew. Zacchaeus?
Hey, what's up?
The 4K bad guy, Nick, how you doing?
Hey, pretty good.
What a week. How's everybody's week been? It's Thursday. I don't know if that means anything to anybody, but... one step closer to Jurassic World Dominion, which hits theaters tonight. If you're watching this live on the YouTube page, it's in theaters right now. Go check it out, Jurassic World Dominion.
My coworker's actually watching it right now. So
nice. I've got a lot of emails, and it's not too happy. Doesn't look very good. But we will. I might be able to go over some of those today. I'm trying to get the email back girthy enough to where we can go over it on both shows. But today's episode is the final stop.
Are those reviews for Dominion or is this for Fallen Kingdom?
Those for Dominion, good sir.
Oh boy, and the Rotten Tomatoes score really proves that, probably.
But today we're going to talk about Jurassic World: Fallen Kingdom, which is the fifth entry into the franchise. So that's what we're getting into today. I'm kind of excited to see you guys' thoughts on Fallen Kingdom. It's another one of those movies that made a crap ton of money.
$1.3 billion.
Yeah, $1.3 billion. But look back, if you guys want to listen to our latest episode, we had a conversation about Goodfellas this past Monday.
How much hate mail did I get over the week?
People want you to go suffocate back.
Yeah, I'm sure.
I'm just kidding. But no,
Nick, do you like Goodfellas? Have you seen it?
I have not seen it, unfortunately.
Haven't seen it? Wow.
No.
Okay.
HBO Max it up, man.
recommendations.
But this week has been a busy week. Goodfellas, Jurassic World, Fallen Kingdom today. Yesterday on Friday the 14th, UHD, me, Nick, and Jake, Funko Fat Guy, talked about Father's Day, which was a fun conversation. If you guys want to go check that out, you can. It's been a fun week. So if you guys want to listen to the audio version, like I said, you can listen to us anywhere you listen to podcasts at Anchor, Podbean, Spotify, iTunes, iHeartRadio, Pandora, Amazon Music. And now you can listen to us on the Prescribed Films Network. Just go to www.prescribedfilms.com and you can listen to us there as well. Social media is a trend. Everybody's on social media nowadays. So follow us on social media, facebook.com/thecinnamonmoviepodcast, Instagram giveaways, Twitter giveaways. But we introduced a new segment this past Monday. It's a 5-part documentary series, Pardon the Pandemic. It's a local interview process that we're doing with all of our local sponsors. So if you want to listen to those, it's only on Mondays. Go check it out. But today, guys, we're talking Jurassic World, Fallen Kingdom. Zach, do you own this?
I do, actually. Hold on just a second. Get my 4K copy out, Johnny. Here you go.
I'm not out. Yeah.
So.
Unfortunately, I own it as well.
why do I get the feeling I'm going to be the only defender of this?
I don't know. This is only my second rewatch, but I guess we will get into it. Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom had a release date of June 22nd, 2018, with a $180 million budget. It grossed a little over $1.3 billion at the box office. When the islands dormant volcano begins roaring to life. Owen and Claire mount a campaign to rescue the remaining dinosaurs from this extinction level event. IMDb has it at 6.1, Rotten Tomatoes at 47%. The Metascore has it at 77%, and the Google users have it at 85%. Starring Chris Pratt, Bryce Dallas Howard, Justice Smith, James Cornwell, Toby Jones, Ted Levine, Jeff Goldblum, B.D. Wong, and directed by J.A. Bonilla?
Bayona.
There you go. Zach, I guess, well, we'll start with you, since you're the fan. What was the first time seeing this movie like? Did you get to check this out in theaters, and what was it like for this rewatch?
Yeah, saw it in the theater on its opening weekend. It's probably going to be a similar situation with Dominion this weekend. You know, I heard about it, didn't get very good reviews. They say it's, you know, at this point they say it's the worst one in the franchise, all this and that. Went and saw it. I didn't have much expectation. You know, I know they can't outdo the original one right behind me. So I just want to go in and have a good time. And you know what? For the first, and we'll talk about it, probably for the first hour of this movie, I actually had a lot of fun with it. It's just when you get to the mansion and all the other stuff that it just kind of goes on the wayside. But overall, I think it's better than three, to be honest, you know. But, you know, those are just my general thoughts.
Nick, man, was this the first time that you got to check this out, or did you see this in theaters? And what was it like for the episode?
I got to see it in theaters. It was mind-blowing. No, but no, and it was just like a... Because it had been a while since I've seen a Jurassic Park movie in the theaters, obviously. The last one, part three, which is the worst one. But no, it was pretty cool rewatching it again for this episode.
I didn't get to see this in theaters. I don't know what I was doing in 2018, but I waited for the home video to come out. I checked it out. I remember thinking that it was okay. I thought it was, in some ways, I thought it was better than the first Jurassic World. But then there is also, in some ways, where like it's like a love-hate relationship between the two. Like the stuff that I liked Jurassic World Part 1 for, I kind of hated Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom for. And I'll explain that a little bit later on. Rewatching it for the episode today, I just felt like it was too long. Maybe 15, 20 minutes longer than it probably should have been. I don't know. Let's get into the opening. I thought the opening was fun with its James Cameron Titanic-like opening.
Yeah.
You know, and they're looking at the bones of the Abdominus Rex. But the rain sequences, the ocean sequence, the big ocean dinosaur coming up from the beginning, I thought was fun. What did you guys think? Did you like the opening?
Yeah, I thought it was a fun opening. The whole horror aspect of it, where you kind of get glimpses of the dinosaurs, you know, either through a lightning strike, just briefly seen in the background, whether you see a dinosaur head or a foot or whatever. The use of shadows in this is actually really well done. Yeah, I mean, the tech guy, you know, he's doing his job, and the retractors to get the Abdominus Rex bone at the bottom of the pool or the SeaWorld exhibit or whatever, they get taken out, and then the guy's running for his life from the T-Rex, and then you think he's going to make it, and then Mesosaurus has something to say about that. So what do you think, Nick?
I think it was a good starting point for the movie. Like, cause if anything that this movie brought was like teases of, like the main characters, you know, they're main characters, but they're not going to die. Of course, side characters, just kill them off. But yeah, they make you feel like rolling danger. Like, even if that guy had survived in the beginning, the tech dude, like, holding on to the little ladder. I was like kind of hoping that it broke off and then he would fall down, but just seeing Mesosaurus just come out and intercept. That was pretty sweet.
And to be honest, when I saw this in the theater, that opening sequence, I was like, okay, this is kind of a cool opening. I don't know, you know, right off the bat, I'm like, I don't know what all the hate is about this, you know, but you know, we'll get there as we go along.
To me, right off the bat, where I honestly had an issue with this movie from the get-go was, like, I feel like it just kept trying to rehash and retouch the other sequels. Like, from the beginning, reintroducing some of the cast members, or the guy who played, I just pulled him up, Mr. Locklear.
Mm-hmm. Lockwood.
Mm-hmm. Right. I feel like, you know, it's not every sequel has to have a billionaire trying to ruin nature's plans.
They retcon it. In order to make this make sense, they have to say, oh, well, it was him and John Hammond. They actually came up with the idea, then something tore them apart, and so John Hammond did his own thing, and then Lockwood did his thing. But it was just like, you don't, and I see what you're saying of the having to change the mythology of it. It's just like, you don't need to do that. You know, we like the mythology from the first movie. We don't need to add things to it, you know?
And then, you know, sending Claire to go chase Owen and convince him to go with her. I'm like, is this The Lost World Part 2?
Yeah.
You know, it just felt too much
This had a lot of Lost World vibes to it.
Yeah, which isn't a bad thing because I really enjoyed The Lost World. But I'm like, just come up with something different. You know, I understand, you know, the dinosaurs are on this planet. The planet's about to, or not planet, but, geez, lost in space. The dinosaurs are on this island and the island's about to pretty much become extinct because of the volcano. It's a really, really simple story. But it's just, I don't think you needed 2 hours and 10 minutes to explain. And then, I mean, you have a dinosaur runway at the end of the movie. You have all these different things that are just trying to take it away from just a simple, fun Hollywood action movie and turning it into something that it shouldn't be. I don't know. Am I being too hard on it? Or Nick, what do you think? How did you feel about just the overall like situation, like the, you know, and I think this would be kind of fun to maybe go through like the mission itself. Like I thought the mission was fun. I'll agree with you, Zach. The first 45, 48 minutes, you know, Nick, what do you think? Do you agree? Like I enjoyed it. Do you enjoy the first like 45 minutes up until the island actually volcanoed out?
Yeah, I enjoyed the whole island, because you're basically picking up from the previous movie, seeing the aftermath of everything here. And then when they started doing the whole auction thing, I was like, this is pretty stupid. it became like, oh, now we just gotta go save Blue. But
if you guys enjoyed the auction part, or if you guys are like, you know, one of the fun things I like about doing, you know, this podcast or any other podcasts are, if I don't like something, I really do want somebody to like try to explain it to me in a different way, to where maybe the next time I watch it, I'm like, that's what they were talking about. Okay, I can give this a little bit more leeway. Because I really don't want to hate on the movie. I was just bored with it after from the moment the Brachiosaurus died in the volcano scene. It didn't interest me the last hour of, you know, and you think it should be the opposite. You think it would be, oh, it's a slower film, and then the last hour is action packed. But the last hour to me did nothing. So if anybody thinks I'm being a little too harsh on it, like kind of explain to me why you feel maybe I feel that way.
No, it sounds like all three of us have the same conclusion of the first 45 minutes to an hour is pretty, it's actually good. It's enjoyable. The whole volcano sequence is really, actually really well done. There's actually a lot of picturesque scenes, especially with, like, you know, as we're looking at the profile for our Jurassic World picture, the T-Rex roaring and the volcano blowing up behind it is actually a really cool scene. And then when Owen, Chris Pratt's character, is just running away from the actual blast, and the dinosaurs are just like running all around him, is actually really well done. But but like you said, Johnny, after the Brachiosaurus dies, it's kind of like a sad homage to the first one, when he gets up on his hind legs to get something off the top of the limbs. It's just like, I just felt like we were out of ideas. Like, okay, so we got the dinosaurs, we bring them back to the mainland. I think they're trying to do, like I talked about in the first Jurassic World review, they're trying to do it as like a militaristic, like, we're going to sell these off to the highest bidder. But it just felt lame, you know? It just, like, and ultimately the whole Indoraptor thing is just like, oh, so it's just basically the Indominus Rex, but it's just a full raptor, basically, you know? And that was like the prize. At the end of the day, that was like the highest bidder. Whoever's going to get that is going to get the newest killing machine, you know? And that doesn't even bring into account what the whole Macy thing is, like the little girl. It's just like that. No. What do you think about it, Nick?
Am I being too harsh on it, Nick? I mean, I don't know. Help me out here. Did you enjoy it?
No, does that mean I do agree that it's like it got to the point, like, I feel like they could have just had them wait around the, I know, I mean, the volcano was already happening, but still, just that whole time you're having that was a lot of cool moments during that time. Once you get out of there, is that really the much, like, after getting a little teary-eyed whenever you see the, like, saying farewell to the island, but,
And maybe this is, go ahead. I'm jumping too much ahead.
No, I was like, but finding about the whole granddaughter thing, I was like, oh, didn't really bring any anything to it, the story wise.
I don't think the script is smart at all. On the rewatch, I was like, wow, that's the dialogue they came up with. It's pretty, it's. The scene, and this is jumping way forward, but I mean, if you've seen this movie, you know exactly what happens. When they release the dinosaurs, and it's revealed that Macy did it, and her dialogue is like, "They're clones like me, and they deserve freedom." I was like, "Wow, this is like B monster movie material, man."
Not that there's anything wrong with that. But when you have a budget of $185 million, everybody who hasn't seen the movie, I mean, I believe it's on Peacock. Is it, Zach? Is it not on Peacock yet?
Let me look real quick. I don't think so.
I know Jurassic World Dominion is coming out. But for this movie, I mean, I don't know.
I mean, be honest. I mean, did you like it? I mean, just like, straight up, like, did you like it or would you watch it again?
I watched it for the episode and I watched it before going and seeing the new one. I honestly don't know if I'll probably ever watch it again unless I absolutely have to.
Mm-hmm.
Just because the last hour, it feels like maybe if the roles were reversed, where you get the dinosaur runway and the auction and maybe that 30, 45 minute mark, and then you get the island exploding maybe in the last 20 minutes, maybe then it would just give a different taste to the ending.
Like, you mean like if the volcano situation was the actual core of the last film,
15 minutes,
like, yes. The last core, well, I would say even the core, like they actually do the auction and everything on the island,
right?
And then all hell breaks loose and then they just try to, whatever gets off the island, that sets up the events for Dominion. But right. Yeah, I see what you're saying.
Just because I think it would, I don't know. I think the emotion of the island erupting took so much out of the viewer as far as emotions go, that you don't care about anything else afterwards.
No. Yeah, I would agree with that statement. Yeah.
Not that the second half didn't have some fun scenes. I mean, I have it here, the scene where they have to get blood from the T-Rex and the T-Rex is sleeping. Mm-hmm. I think that's a pretty fun scene.
Yeah. When the eye opens up and the pupil dilates and Chris Owen's got to jump through the jaws almost and out of the truck. Yeah, there are, and you know, people are going to listen to this and say we're kind of nitpicking. It's not really nitpicking. It's just, I just feel like you said, Johnny, with a $185 million budget, like you can do better than this, you know, or, you know, we could have come up with something better, you know, at the end of the day.
I'll let you guys kind of talk about the whole cloning situation with Macy. So this movie not only now clones dinosaurs, but are you telling me that John Hammond cloned an actual person?
I don't think so. I think that's what, according to what the movie says, that's what broke their business or relationship partner up, their partnership up. Like, John Hammond was only in it for the dinosaurs, and then Lockwood lost his daughter, and so he came up with an idea of cloning his daughter, and that's what Macy is. I know. It sounds so stupid when you think about it.
No, when you say it out loud.
Yeah, because, like, at the end of the day, this is just supposed to be about dinosaurs. Why are we bringing human cloning into this? You know?
I guess this would be a perfect plug that in 2 weeks' time from today, 3 weeks' time, we are talking about Star Wars Episode II, Attack of the Clones, for its 20th anniversary. Nick, what do you think about the cloning? Did you have to do, like, when you were in the theater, did you have to take a double look? Like, human cloning?
I don't know how I feel about that completely. It's just kind of a, it's like, oh, we're just going to, we had to. Let's step it up, man. I mean, we've already done the cloning dinosaurs, mutated new creations. There's no one to throw a human to a human character.
And again, I mean, if I'm being too harsh on this, let me know, because it is the same movie company that put the Fast and Furious crew in space.
Imagine if they cloned this girl, and she had like dinosaur features in it. It's just real. So, like, a most ridiculous thing.
Are you talking? Oh, okay. So, that's another thing I wanted to bring up was B.D. Wong's character was talking about, you know, the dinosaur needing like a mother figure.
Yeah.
What if in Dominion they just full blown out bring like the mom, like Macy is like mothering this baby raptor. She's breastfeeding the raptor, and she's
that's spoiler.
She got a little diaper on the raptor, like.
Oh, what happened? God.
And then at the end of the day, like, you hear the little baby raptor say,
"Family." And then it's ties in.
It's the crossover.
The crossover there.
Nick, you guys that's... have a whole. You guys have a whole skit on it.
That's why Fast 10 is having so much trouble. They're trying to connect the two universes together.
what's the name of the skit, man?
Drastically Fast.
Drastically Fast.
It's fun. It's entertaining. But I don't know.
I don't know, man. It's just...
You lost me with the whole Macy getting cloned thing. I forgot. I guess that part was so bad when I watched it the first time in 2018. I completely forgot that was in this recent watch. And I had to, like, pause it and then go back a chapter and be like, did I just hear what I thought I heard?
Yeah. Yep. And, like, the sad thing is, like, when you have a great first film and this is the stuff that they're putting out, I mean, we like Lost World. I think a good chunk of us or all of us like Jurassic World, the first one. And then you have Jurassic Park 3, and then now you have Fallen Kingdom, and supposedly you have Dominion, which is, according to some people, it's the worst one of the out of all of them. It's just, where did we lose our way with this? You know, it was just a simpler time when it was just a park full of dinosaurs. They go, all hell breaks loose. That's all you need in a Jurassic Park film. It's like when Johnny, when you guys did the Friday the 13th retrospective, it's just like all you want is Jason hacking up teenagers on a lake. What more do you need from that? You know?
There are some new characters introduced in this movie. We'll talk about Eli, played by Raffi Spall, one of the more better breath of fresh air characters. I feel like Franklin Webb, played by Justice Smith, I thought he was a fun character.
No, I thought he was terrible, but yeah.
Oh, my. Zia, played by Daniela, she was a new character. What did you guys think of old Ken Wheatley, played by Ted Levine?
Buffalo Bill from Silence of the Lambs, yeah.
Yes.
I didn't even know that was him until I looked at his filmography, and he just looked like a really douchey Steve Irwin, if you want to know the truth. Like, if Steve Irwin really didn't care about animals, that he just wanted like trophies from them. That's what this character is.
Well, Nick, what did you think before I get into my next? Did you enjoy Ted Levine as Ken?
It's fine.
I feel like he is one of these. Again, it's a rehashing of the guy from Lost World who wants the baby T Rex or the T Rex.
Yeah,
like this guy, he's just in it for the money. He's like pulling teeth. Is he a dentist? You know, he's pulling teeth.
Be a good collectioner.
He's pulling teeth from everything. It ultimately catches up with him at the end, which I think there is some limelight on the second half. I think his death was probably the best that you get in the last two Jurassic Park movies, Jurassic World and Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
If there was another death that I would have to compare it to, is the lady that got eaten in SeaWorld in the first one.
Yeah.
Like, that was a fun death. But, like, this dude, he gets his arm chopped off. You actually get to see the dinosaur swallow it, chew it up. The blood drips from the mouth, which I know they have to make these PG-13, but I didn't mind, you know, seeing a little bit of blood in a dinosaur's mouth, which you don't get a lot in any of these movies.
Yeah. I thought Eli's death was actually pretty good, too. He gets, like, ripped apart by the T-Rex and the Allosaurus when he thinks everything's all safe after the stampede. What do you guys think about the headbutting dinosaur, him busting through brick walls and everything?
That was a cool little thing to get out of the situation, but it was a little comedic towards the once he busts out through the cell, he just shakes his head like, oh.
I need a beer, bro.
My head's hard, but not that hard. I don't want to use my head.
In the first Jurassic World, you kind of get a more serious Chris Pratt.
Yeah.
Were you guys okay with, you know, Guardians of the Galaxy? It came out and they're like, oh, he's actually a pretty funny guy. In this one, do you feel like some of the laughters with Chris Pratt was too forced because of maybe what he did with Guardians of the Galaxy? Like when he gets when he goes limp and he's got to move away from the lava.
Yeah.
I thought some of it was funny. I always think he's a funny guy, but what did you guys think? Did you enjoy the comedic relief in the movie with him?
Some of it worked. The slapstick humor of that scene where, you know, he's like paralyzed from the sedative and he's got to force his body to climb over a log when the lava's coming. It worked. The scene where he's in trying to get the blood from the T-Rex and the head goes to the right. And he's like, I'm okay. But some of the other things, like when they first get to the island and he tells Claire, if I don't make it back, it's on you. And she's like, what? And he says, nah, I'll be all right. It's just that type of self-reliant humor every so often just didn't really land, in my opinion. What about you, Nick?
You big Chris Pratt fan?
Not the biggest fan, but I've seen some other stuff he's done. And it was like, that was pretty enjoyable. But then, like, a lot of movies you see comedic actors are like, oh, I'm used to the formula. This is what some people, like, some actors know how to change it up a bit, but it's like, it's Chris Pratt.
I mean, I do like this, you know, I do like his role in these last two movies. I think if anything, he's maybe some of the best parts of the movie. Going through the special features, I am really surprised that Steven Spielberg had as big of a hand in this, in these last two movies that he did, and this one just not cutting it the way I thought it would. But I mean, I don't think it's a complete letdown, honestly.
Was it his? I know it was his idea in the last one to actually realize the park. Was it his idea to blow up the island in this one,
or was it? Sure. I know it was his idea to
Colin Trevorrow's.
I'm not sure. I know it was his idea to bring one Mr. Jeff Goldblum back, and I thought,
which
I was going to say a little bit towards the ending, but I think it's a perfect way of him starting off. And where are they at in the beginning of the movie? Is it a courtroom? Because I mean, it feels like this whole movie is being taken place while he's in one room in the entire movie. At the beginning of the movie, he's like in a conference room, and at the end, he's in a conference room. I don't know why they split the two ends apart, but I mean, I get why they did, because I mean, I think you need his voice to end this movie to get you hyped for the next one.
I think it's a hearing. Honestly, I think this hearing has taken place after the events of this film, because they're talking about, did these creatures deserve the rights as other, not extinct but threatened animals, or should they be left to die? And then, you know, he says at the closing lines of the movie, or we've entered a new age where, you know, the what we've unleashed on the world is going to create more problems than it's ever imagined. And the last dialogue of the movie is welcome to Jurassic World. So I think it's the same hearing. It's just, they divided it, like you said, Johnny, they divided it from the beginning to where you think, should we save the dinosaurs too? Oh, this is actually the same. Because I think he's wearing the same clothes in each scene.
Nick, what'd you think of Jeff Goldblum? Was it enjoyable to watch him back in one of these movies?
Throw him back in a way? I mean, if you're not expecting him to return for the next movie, this was being a good little cameo spot.
They didn't save it. They put it in the trailer. I remember thinking that. I was like, wow, that would have been a cool cameo if they had revealed that.
It's a nice little dialogue from him. That's pretty cool. Jurassic World.
I mean, who doesn't?
So he said the name of the movie.
I mean, gonna have those moments. Who doesn't like Ian Malcolm monologues? Honestly,
I am. Let's bring that situation into the limelight. You know, in the first movie, Zach, we were all talking about how the real life situations, if this happened, they would bring in the military. Now it feels like in this movie, let's bring in another real life element. And if this really happened, they would bring in animal rights activists.
Yeah.
Which they did in this movie. And, you know, even though it sounds like I've been crapping on it for the last 30 minutes, I feel like that is one of my favorite things I like about the movie is, you know, when this movie came out in 1993, there was no, let's bring in animal rights activists and say whether they should or shouldn't do it. Really, you only had Ian Malcolm saying you should or shouldn't do it. Now, in this movie, it's like the court hearing is like somebody's responsible for this. These animals need to live. They can't just be thrown away, because at the end of the day, they are living, breathing animals. You know, if we have an island full of puppies and a volcano is going to erupt, what's going to happen?
Yeah, that's true.
Again, I'm not trying to compare a puppy to a velociraptor.
I think you are.
but I think I like that element of them bringing in animal rights activists and kind of like saying, hey, you know, the ones that aren't harming anybody, should they live amongst us? And then the ones that can harm people, is that why you see the T-Rex next to the lion in the zoo? Is the T-Rex in a safe place in a zoo, or is he just bouncing around trying to start fights with lions?
Which is a cool scene. I mean, I know that's kind of a joke, but I mean that scene of the king of the jungle, it's the king of the dinosaurs, you know, T-Rex being the king of the dinosaurs, it's kind of reclaiming the land metaphor type thing. I thought, and they're having their little roar off. I thought that was cool. The things that work in this movie, I wish they would have done more of. You know, the volcano exploding, once the dinosaurs get released, which I guess they were trying to save that for Dominion. So, I mean, I get what they were doing. But, like, the last 10 minutes of the movie when they go free, and it's kind of like the start of the quote-unquote end, where you see the Mesosaurus kind of go after some surfers. The T-Rex at the zoo, the bird, the pterodactyls flying off in the distance as Owen and Claire are driving.
I would like to see a teasing of maybe a jaguar or a cheetah, you know, in the same desert island of a velociraptor.
I mean, and then Blue kind of looking over the suburban neighborhoods of, like, this land is, we're going to take this land back, basically. Like, that was cool. And something I don't know if, did you guys ever see the, about a year after this movie came out, they came out with a little, like, short 10-minute film called Battle at Big Rock. Did you guys ever see this?
Was that on, like, YouTube or Netflix?
Mm-hmm. It's on YouTube. It's just a 10-minute Jurassic World short, and it's about a family that is, like, camping at Big Rock, and it's like the quote-unquote first confrontation between dinosaurs. It's, for it to be a 10-minute little short film, the visuals, and actually it was really well done. And then it's just kind of like, kind of sets up Dominion as the, there's different confrontations all over the world with these dinosaurs now. So you can watch on YouTube for free.
I haven't checked it out. Nick, have you checked it out?
No, I've not checked that.
There might be something fun to check out before you go see the movie. I don't know. What do you think about the rooftop scene where is it the Indoraptor is chasing Chris Pratt and they're on top of, like, the roof of the auction?
Yeah.
So that stuff's pretty cool.
The thing is like, you know, they kept saying that the Indoraptor needs a mother, and technically Blue would be the mother. Blue is, like, this big, and the Indominus and the Indoraptor is, like, that big. Like, that doesn't make any sense, because, like, I noticed it in the battle sequences. I'm just like Blue doesn't even, like, she couldn't even be a mother to that thing. Like, it would kill her instantly. You know, doesn't make any sense.
Nick, what did you think of some of the animal kingdom scenes where the dinosaurs are looking and meeting some of the other animals? Is there something that you might have wanted to see different, like this dinosaur looking up at this other animal?
Can't really think of anything like major. I mean, the lion and the T-Rex was a pretty cool visual thing to see. Throw out a ridiculous animal, just ornate, a penguin. Like, what the hell? I don't know. Could see any animal with the dinosaur.
Did they use any animatronics in this movie, Zach, or is it all CGI dinosaurs?
I want to say
there's a scene where the Indoraptor,
I think when he's, like, doing the trick with the tail, I think that was animatronic. When the hunter, what's his name, Ken? Wheatley?
Yeah.
When he takes the tooth from the Stegosaurus, that was animatronic. And I want to say Blue, when she's like on the operation table, I think she's animatronic, and I think the T-Rex, when they're trying to get the blood sample or the blood transfusion part of it, was at different points it was animatronic. So they still used them, but just sparingly in this one.
So I thought the ending was pretty, you know, pretty lackluster. I don't know. Bringing up the clone, bringing up Macy. Did they really tie a bow on the Macy situation for you guys? Like, do you feel like it was an ending to Macy, or do you think she'll be back?
Oh, she's in the new one. She's in Dominion.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. You're hoping the retcon.
I don't know. You know, and the other thing that kind of bugged me about it was they really set it up to be, because when she's asking who her mother was, Lockwood says something to the extent of, I'm paraphrasing, like, oh, she was there from the beginning. And there's the little model of the original Jurassic Park infrastructure. I was like, oh, is she connected to maybe Ellie or Dr. Grant or something like that? No. Which would have been a really cool tie-in to the original film, but no.
So they could even have tied Tim to her.
Yeah, or like a relative or something.
Yeah,
I know. The other cool thing, and this is just movie nerd moment, but the maid or the babysitter, the older woman, that's Geraldine Chaplin. That's actually Charlie Chaplin's daughter. So, but yeah, that's just nerd moment right there.
Interesting. You talking about the guy that Robert Downey Jr. played?
Yeah. Let's talk about the director, J.A. Bayona. He's made some interesting movies before this. The Orphanage.
Yeah, I skipped over that. I'm sorry.
That's all right. The Orphanage. I know you guys are big horror fans. Nick, have you seen that one?
The Orphanage. Yeah.
Is it? I haven't seen it. Is it good?
From what I remember, it's pretty good. Yeah, I bought it up recently on Blu-ray, so might get that rewatch.
Hell yeah.
He did The Impossible, the Naomi Watts one about the tsunami in India, which was pretty good. A Monster Calls, which I thought was really good. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good movie.
He directed that, and A Monster Calls. I don't know if you guys have seen that. It's
about this kid. Yeah.
He's done good movies. I don't know if it was just like maybe it was the writers that came up with all this crap, and he was like, all right, it's a paycheck.
I think when you have movies or franchises like this, though, I think it's really bad. That's kind of hypocritical. I was going to say, I think it's not okay to give them, you know, flack for it, because it's more than a director involved in creating the story. It's like the entire production team, Amblin Studios, comparing it to a Marvel film. If Captain Marvel gets crapped on, you don't blame the director, you blame Marvel. But
as Ed does, he blames Brie Larson.
But if you get Endgame that, you know, everybody is just flawed by it, then it's the Russo brothers. But then they put out something like 21 Bridges, and you're like, they're not as good as everybody thinks. So I don't know. Like, I, looking at his filmography, like you would say, he's done some good movies. I don't think he should get 100% of the flack for Jurassic World.
No, and I'm not blaming him for this. It's just, I think ultimately what it comes down to, in my opinion, is the writing. I just don't think the writing is as strong as the other ones. It's better than 3. There are aspects of this that are actually, that might be better than Jurassic World, but I mean, it just wasn't, I just felt like it needed work. And, you know, anytime when you're dealing with a big blockbuster film like this, especially with $180 million budget or whatever, you want to make the best product you can. And I mean, unfortunately, I think all of us could probably agree that this is not it, you know.
I'm sitting here like trashed on it, but at the end of the day, I don't think I would rewatch it anytime soon, but just looking back at some of the visuals, like if I take out Macy being a clone, supposedly, or if I take out the fashion show, and if I cut it down to an hour and 45 minutes instead of 2:10, I think I would probably think this was a pretty fun popcorn movie. I would put this up there with, like, oh, it's like a Hobbs and Shaw movie. You know, you're going to laugh, you're going to cry, you're going to say this is ridiculous, and it's not, like, anywhere close to what real life would be, but you're not wanting to go in and watch real life or wanting to go in and watch dinosaurs. And I know that again, that sounds hypocritical, because I'm like, I want to see dinosaurs, but they're cloning somebody, and I'm hating on it for them cloning a person, but I'm okay with them cloning dinosaurs.
But that's not what the series is about. It's never been about... It's been about cloning. It's about genetic, you know, genetic power and what you were able to do that, what you're able to do with that as a scientist. But there's nothing in that original film about cloning people. Like, who came up with that?
But now that I'm sitting here thinking about it and talking about it, I'm like, I sound just so terrible, because I'm like, yeah, let's clone a fucking T-Rex, but a little girl, that's astronomical. We can't do that.
I can see, like, in a world, like, they make a movie about aliens. That's what aliens will be doing, is cloning humans. Human parts.
Yeah.
What would you guys say? And now we're just going to do, like, some fantasy booking, since this is, like, our last movie before Dominion. What would you guys do if they came out and they introduced, I'm not saying aliens, but artificial intelligence in this movie?
Swear to God,
like,
dude.
Like, not okay, maybe not full-blown aliens, but, you know, something along the lines like the creator or the person who created the clone.
It's John Hammond. Like, he survived. It's like Rise of Skywalker. That's how he's, like, connected to a giant machine, like Palpatine is at the beginning of the movie. It's like, yes, it is me behind the whole thing. I
Nick, while he's thinking on that, do you plan on seeing that movie this weekend, or do you think you might just
wait for it on Blu-ray?
I don't know, man. it may come down to the Blu-ray or on sale, Black Friday sale.
Black Friday sale.
Yeah.
Yeah. This movie might be $7 on Black Friday. Zach, what about you? You're going Saturday. Are you hyped, or are you staying away from the reviews?
I've seen the reviews. I know what this film is getting. I'm not one of those people that expect it to be the best film of the year. I know it's not going to be that. This is going to be a rant, basically. I get so irritated about these critics and film fans that are, you know, I think they expect it to be better than the original film, and that's just not possible. You know, for me as a film, I'm a fan of this franchise because I don't expect much from it. I want to see dinosaurs. I want to be entertained for 2 hours. That's all I ask, you know. I mean, as of right now, the Rotten score is 35% with an 85% audience score. And then IGN gave it a 7, saying it's, quotation, as good. Nostalgia and new thrills make an interesting marriage in an imperfect but otherwise exciting Jurassic World Dominion. So, you know, I think this is film, honestly, I think this film is going to borderline to it's fine to, I didn't really like it, you know. And I think for fans or general fans, I think this is, according to what I'm reading, is it's either you're going to hate this or you're going to, you know, you're going to go along with it. So what about you, Johnny? What are you going in with the expectation? Are you just like, you know what? It is what it is. I just want to be entertained. Like me, I just want to be entertained for 2 hours.
It's like 2.5 hours now, though, right?
Yeah. 2:40 or 2 hours and 28 minutes, I think.
Oof. The girth. I you know, I think I'm just going to go in with an open mind. I just want to see a fun ending.
Yeah.
I don't want to see, you know, I don't want to see what's next? I want to see a good conclusion. And I think you have to bring back the legacy characters for that nostalgia feeling. So I'm happy to see them come back for this movie. How long they're going to be in it, I don't know. But I think it is going to be a fun crossover between the first three and the last three. And, you know, they're dinosaurs. So even though this one kind of left a bitter taste in my mouth, I think that's a good thing because now I want to go in and, you know, I'm expecting something better than Fallen Kingdom. So I think I'll be happy.
That's fair.
Nick, man, do you have any favorite scenes from, if there's anything we haven't brought up, like that you want to talk about, bring any of those scenes up.
Just a random scene, like towards the end, whenever everyone, all the dinosaurs are already getting loose and whatnot. The T Rex, how it just comes out of, because it's the other the little smaller dinosaur.
Mm-hmm.
Not really good with dinosaur names.
I just call them critters.
critters. That's a whole different series. Aliens. But yeah, when I found it hilarious because the T Rex like, this is my food. Like, just
back off.
It was that. Or even just to see when they're leaving the island. I mean, I know it's a sad scene, but just it's just like one of those moments. I think like from remembering like scenes from the movie, this was like that was the kind of scene I remembered.
Yeah. If I had to pick a favorite scene, just the volcano sequence. I think that was the selling point of the movie. I think they spent a lot of the budget on that, which I think if you're going to do any type of sequence or put money into a good sequence, that was it. That I think the Macy things could be cut out, to be honest. And then the final 5 minutes with Jeff Goldblum talking about Welcome to Jurassic World, and we're starting to see the effects of the decision of letting the dinosaurs out. So, what about you, Johnny?
If I had some favorite scenes to pick, I know for sure I would pick I'll go different. I think it was fun seeing Chris Pratt being completely motionless and not being able to move and seeing him get away from the lava. The scene where Justice Smith and Claire are trapped in the control room, right?
Yeah.
And they are trying to escape the lava, which we didn't even bring up. I thought that was a fun scene. Zach, you said you didn't enjoy Justice Smith at all. What did you just dislike his character or what?
I hated the character. I thought he was very annoying. Like, I was just like, please kill him off. Please.
Jeez. We'll be back, though, right?
Yeah, he'll be back. So, let me read before we get out of here. Let me read another review. This is from Empire.
I would just agree with all you guys that the I like the sleeping T-Rex scene, and then the Jeff Goldblum final 10 minutes scene. Our world mixed with the Jurassic, with the dinosaurs.
Yeah. Before we give our grades for this, our star rating, let me read this review real quick. It's Empire Magazine, which is a film magazine. They gave it a 3. They gave Dominion a 3 out of 5. It says their summary is, if it doesn't hit the Top Gun Maverick heights of legacy sequels, Jurassic World Dominion is scattershot, but entertaining, delivering fun, familiar set pieces. Come for the delight in seeing Sam Neill, Laura Dern, and Jeff Goldblum together again. Stay for the bit where a bloke on a scooter gets eaten. So I think the thing that helps Dominion in the long run is, like you said, John, able to see these three characters come back. So we will definitely see.
Star rating for Fallen Kingdom, Jurassic World. one out of 10. Zach, we'll start with you. Zacchaeus.
I'll give it a 7, honestly. The rewatch of it, I just wish that the second half of this movie is as strong as the first, honestly. I think that's my biggest complaint about it. Is it something that I'll watch again? Yeah. Will it be anytime soon? Probably not. But I mean, like I said, I didn't hate watching this. You know, there are other things. I'm watching Moonfall right now, Johnny, and I'm wanting to scratch my eyes out. So
I took it easy.
So I'll give it a 7.
I'm going to give this movie a 5. I think, you know, the complete cloning of one.
Progressively worse as we go.
The cloning of Macy is a little out there. You know, I feel like it's a little scrappy at times when it comes to the story, like it's iffy. And I just feel like it's the pacing is just so ass backwards, at least to me. I would have liked to see the roles reversed, honestly, and from, you know, from the opening to the ending. And I think the only thing that saves this movie for me completely given a dud or a turd rating is the Malcolm, the Ian Malcolm speech at the end. It gets you hyped up for the next one. So you have a fun opening. You have a very, very big letdown in the middle of the movie, I feel. And then the ending, the last 10 minutes is okay. So I'm giving this movie a 5 because I feel like the rewatchability is not going to be there for me. So, Nick, what about you?
I'm going to sit right in the middle, a 6. The movie did start off pretty great. That was probably, you know, one of my favorite scenes. That's how the movie started. Mm-hmm. And this whole island, everything surrounding it was pretty cool. Yeah. Not too much great came out of this movie, but there was some cool moments in this movie.
But if anybody out there listening or watching, if you guys want to get interactive and get involved, you always can comment here on the YouTube page. You can also check us out on the social media. Send us in an email. That's the honestly easiest and fastest way to get your word across to us. I'm going to introduce the email bag on Thursdays here soon. I might read some here today. But we read them every Monday. So you can email us at cinemen921@gmail.com. The Facebook is facebook.com/ The Cinnamon Movie Podcast. Instagram is all one word, The Cinnamon Movie Podcast. And then the Twitter is at cinnamon405. Giveaways, digital copy giveaways, girthy giveaways, physical media talk. You can find it there. Nick, they can also find you on the Instagram too.
Yeah, you can follow me at the 4K bad guy. Every once in a while, I'll post some my horror physical media stuff on there, promote some of the stuff we're doing on this YouTube channel, Emo Soul Productions, for future episodes of Friday the 14th or Friday the 14th UHD.
And June 25th on this channel, Nick, at 10 p.m. What are they going to be able to see? Talk about girthy.
You're talking about at 10 p.m. and everything? Late night?
Late night girth.
Sir. I'm not sure what we're promoting here, but no, it's going to be a full-on all-star cast live stream. For still trying to figure out how exactly we're going to fit everyone on the screens, because you can only have up to 10 people on this platform. So still trying to figure it out, but pretty much everyone who's been a part of our brand, past, present, I can't say future, but just on it. But yeah, that'll be on the 25th of June, 10 p.m., pretty late. But catch the rewatch, I mean.
Oh, yeah.
Whenever you can, really.
Yeah,
that's so true. That'll be celebrating our, like, 500 sub.
And like we said, this channel has a lot of content on it. You got Wrestling Tacos. next Wednesday, June 15th, ABC's The Death on Friday the 14th. The week after that, June 22nd, Friday the 14th podcast, UHD, St. Maud, which I think is going to be a fun review. So, man, there's a lot of content coming up in the month of June for this YouTube channel, man. Are you excited?
Always excited.
And then, you know, 3 weeks from today, this is our last bonus episode on the channel until June 30th. Like I said, June 30th is going to be kind of a special episode for me, honestly. Not only do we get to talk about Star Wars, it's the 20th anniversary of Star Wars Episode II, Attack of the Clones. But personally for me, Thursday, June 30th, is going to be my dad's birthday. My dad passed away some years ago, and if it wasn't for him or that guy right there, you know, the pops, I wouldn't be as big into movies or Star Wars or horror movies like I am today if it wasn't for him. So almost like a little dedication, maybe, if you will, or just a kind of a tribute to, you know, just my dad introducing me to Star Wars. And I think, you know, talking about the 20th anniversary of Attack of the Clones should be a fun little conversation. I think, Nick, you're more than welcome to jump on that episode if you'd like. I think Craig and Edward is going to jump on. Zach, if you want to, I know you're not a huge Attack of the Clones fan. I know it's terrible in your mind, but if you want to jump on, you're more than welcome to even make a small appearance. So that's the next time we'll see you guys on this channel for a bonus episode. And then July, Zach, we're going to be just floating all over Thursdays in July. We're going to be talking about John Q, 20th anniversary with Denzel Washington, 20th anniversary of Reign of Fire, Christian Bale, Matthew McConaughey,
yep.
20th anniversary of Mr. Deeds, which I'm excited about that. And then what was the last one? Remember?
Doing the 20th anniversary of We Were Soldiers with Mel Gibson.
Oh, yeah. And that's actually the Thursday after the 30th.
That'll be the first one. We're doing like a 20th anniversary bonus episode, bonus episode series for the month of July. So
July 7th, We Were Soldiers. So should be pretty fun. But as far as the next time you hear us, we will be talking about this movie right here, Jurassic World Dominion, Monday, June 13th. I'm excited. We're also going to be talking to Andrew, the owner, operator of CDR Electronics. We're going to be asking him some questions, and they have two locations here in Oklahoma City. So I think it'll be fun. It's part two of five of our Pardon the Pandemic. We're going to ask them about how the pandemic affected them, what's their goals, what's their futures, and where you can find them, and how the Cinema and Movie Podcast came to be with them as a sponsor. So it should be fun. A nice little series that we get to talk about. And then we're ending that series with the 200th episode. 200th episode, Monday, July 4th, Independence Day, Will Smith, Bill Pullman, Jeff Goldblum.
Yeah.
So, Nick, do you have anything you want to add to, you know, these last few episodes that you've been on, which has been a complete blast having you on? Usually they get to hear us talk on Wednesdays, but, you know, now you doing these crossover episodes, man, they've been so much fun. And I just want to say thank you, and thank you everybody involved for these last few weeks. It's been fun. What do you think? You excited? You want to hop on some in the near future as well?
Yeah, this has been definitely a fun ride. I mean, you've done a whole lot for the brand I do. Even though I told you, like, you can jump on, but you don't have to jump for all of them. And it's kind of a thing, became a thing that you just jump on every single one. So it's like, all right, make you a regular. But I thought, it's like, I'll return the favor.
Nice.
I mean, it's not like I was being forced, but I came on here. I was like, oh, I'm going to do it.
No, no. We said we would take your Stegosaurus away if you were going to join us. Your $4 million Stegosaurus.
So, yeah, thank you. Zach, do you have anything you want to add for these last few weeks of bonus episodes? And if not, are you excited for July 7th, We Were Soldiers?
Yeah. It's been fun talking about these movies with you guys. Nick, it's been fun doing a little crossover with the podcast. You know, like I said, I'm a Jurassic Park fan at heart. I like these movies. I will always love the first one. I'm going in with an open mind with Dominion, and we will go from there. We Were Soldiers. I think it'll be an interesting conversation, Johnny. And I think currently you can stream that on Paramount Plus. So
I've never seen it.
It's a really good movie. You'll think you'll like it. It's a Vietnam War film. That's all I'll say about it. So
Vietnam. Yeah. And to everybody out there, thank you for joining us these past few weeks. Jurassic World, the road to Dominion has finally wrapped up. We'll talk Dominion Monday, June 13th, right here on the Cinema Movie Podcast. Thank you guys. Have a good night. We'll talk to you next time.
Later.